Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we are joined once again by the king of Bravo memes and Bravo commentary.
Bravo! Bravo!
Joe Gunn. Hi, Joe.
Back once again, my home away from home, space trash.
Oh my God, we're back again.
Happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you because we're going to talk today about the divorce that's shaking the world. It's at least shaking America and people with HeyU accounts in the UK. Kim Zolciak-Bierman and Croy Bierman, they are getting a divorce. Their blonde little heads are being ripped in twain. But before we get into that, Joe, since you're a real British person, we have to ask you about the coronation. Did you care about it?
No.
Okay. Well, did you listen?
All right. Well, I guess that's probably it.
I'm sorry. I know. It's like that time you asked me to come on and do like an autobiography of Queen Margaret or someone. And I was like,
who?
I just can't.
Oh, yeah. Molly. You were like, this lady just sounds terrible and I don't want to read a book about her. It was back when it was Diva Behavior and we were doing. Yeah. And I didn't blame you. And you're right. She is terrible. They're all a little terrible.
Now, I did have one other thing I wanted to say, and then we can get into this divorce. Joe, you are not only an influencer in the Bravo sphere. I want to show you the shot that I just took. Read it and weep. Liposomal. Ever since
read it, because you're shaking it everywhere.
Well, I was trying to get the light. I was trying to get the light.
Yes.
Liposomal vitamin C, because you said that Gwyneth said that liposomal is the kind of vitamins we want to put in our system. And I don't know what it means, and I don't know why, and I don't know if it counts in the drink shots, but because of you, I've been doing liposomal vitamin C shots from Whole Foods.
But it is, liposomal is liquid because it's like encapsulated in the liquid, so you don't pee it out. It like goes straight into your into your bloodstream, and then you're not supposed to eat for like half an hour afterwards. You're supposed to have it on an empty stomach.
Oh my God, good thing I just took it right before we did this podcast, because otherwise I'd be chowing down.
Right, yeah. Well, I hope it works out for you. Yeah, I just went through a bottle, so I've got to get another one. But yeah, I'm, wow. I'm
consider me influenced.
Wow. Influencer.
Now I need to get that.
Liposomal, whatever it go. Means.
Lipid means fat, so it probably goes directly into your fat or something.
Oh, and I got a ton of that, so this is going to be really good for me.
You don't, but it's funny. Okay. Kim versus Croy. The people versus Kim versus Croy. It is the people versus them because, Joe, do you think, so these two, Kim is a reality star. Croy is a former football player. Kim was on Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then they got their own spinoff, Tardy for the Party. Do you think, Joe, anyone likes them?
Yes, I think she has fans.
Really? Because, okay, I want to know your experience of her, because my experience of her is that she is the reason why I didn't watch Real Housewives of Atlanta for a very long time, because I just found her so repugnant and I had not yet really learned how to hate watch in the proper mode, which all Bravo shows require.
It's a skill.
Yeah. So
it does take practice. It does take practice.
It does. I didn't watch Atlanta for the longest time. And now I've been doing like, I started back from the beginning again and I've been watching it all and it's amazing. I just finished season 6, which is amazing. But she, now I'm realizing like, now that this divorce is breaking, I'm like, they need to get her back on the show. So what has your journey been with her, Joe?
Yeah, I never liked her. She's always been very performative. cringe, just wanted, she's very old school reality TV, I find, kind of just, yeah, making moments on TV with Sweetie. You know, if you've watched recently, that's her assistant, that they would be like a duo act, like a couple of villains in a musical. But yeah,
I love Sweetie the villain. Sweetie the villain's rich.
Sweetie, she would yell, and that would be her like catchphrase, and that's her thing. And I'm just like, who are you really, Kim? And but then I kind of enjoy a housewife whose life is a house of cards that could fall and collapse at any time. So she's famously in a lot of debt. You know, everything's bought on credit or loans. And I kind of, that scares me so much. And I'm fascinated by people who can just go through life like that. And I wonder how they can sleep at night. But it's just, Sarah's pointing to herself. I'm sorry if I'm triggering
it. It me. It wasn't my choice, but I've learned to live in this. I know I always said my first book was, I already have a title. My second book is going to be Life from the Overdraft.
Yeah, okay, now listen, I know about an overdraft. That I think that's why I am so financially, my mom calls me financially anorexic, but I like to call it just being financially smart. But that it is because
financially lean, you're just lean,
financially Ozempic, I don't know, that's the buzzword, whatever. because I have been living in overdraft before, like in my 20s, so yeah, that's why it just fascinates me. I'm like, are we still doing this? Like, but then did you see, you saw Bethany's TikTok, right?
Yes.
About, yeah. I thought, I'm sorry, I agree with everything she said. And Vicky commented on it saying she is 100% right. And
yeah, I think the leveraging of debt to get a bigger and bigger and bigger lifestyle is really a uniquely American thing. I think it might be easier to borrow in the US. I mean, that was what the whole subprime mortgage crisis was all about. Like, our economy literally crashes all the time because we lend too much money out. It's just a thing that we do, because we just, anything that's going to hypothetically maybe make some money for a bank, we're all for it. So it is a totally American thing. You can definitely get a lot farther on fumes in the US, but it is going to come crashing down. Like, I don't understand how they even do. Like, I don't even understand Teresa and Joe Giudice's crimes. I don't understand how these people just conjure money out of thin air. It's crazy. But so, Sarah, you might not know, Kim Zolciak, as she hit the stage, as now she's Zolciak Bierman.
Not for long.
I have to say, also as a side note, the thing that really is the through line of this entire saga is, I'm sorry to be a bitch, just the ugliest names you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah, what is Croy? What is up with Croy?
It's a fish, right?
Croy with a K.
I think Koi is a fish.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a dumbass.
But I would love to see a Croy, sort of a hybrid fish of some kind, maybe.
But we've got Croy, we've got Zolciak, we've got Bierman.
We've got Croy Jr.
Croy Jr., really, we needed to bring that name into another generation.
Why did they do that to him?
One of the daughters is Brie. They spell it like cheese. The four sons are Cash with a K. Croy, I realize I'm making fun of children right now, but it's not their fault. It's the parents. I'm making fun of the parents' taste in names. It's just Kaya and Kane, all with a K.
Isn't Kane like a biblical figure, like
the guy who killed his brother or whatever?
Kane works, I think, as a villain too.
Yeah, it's not.
I will say it's Brielle, which I think is even trashier. Famously, Kim Zolciak once tweeted, "Who does Brielle have to blow to get was it Drake tickets or someone else
about her daughter?
John Legend tickets." Yeah, she tweeted, "Who does Brielle have to blow to get John Legend tickets?"
Probably John Legend.
It's like, it's crazy. But so anyway, Kim first hit our screens as she was a single mom of two. She was dating this guy called Big Papa, whose identity she refused to reveal, but he was her sugar daddy. So Kim,
okay,
really,
okay.
She's like, you know, like, power to sex workers for sure. But as the show continues, you realize this is the laziest woman alive. Like, she, right, Joe? Like, she literally, she just like slopping around all over. Like, she's never even got a pep in her step. She just kind of just flailed out of doing even Real Housewives of Atlanta because she didn't feel like going on vacation with them. That's how lazy we're talking about.
Whoa.
She got fired from the show mid-season 5 because they were all supposed to go on a trip together, and she gave them the dates that she could go, and then they all go to lunch and they're like, so Kim, are you coming on the trip? And she's like, I don't think I can. My baby's due that weekend. And they're like, your baby's not due for like 5 months. Yeah. So then she meets Croy doing this like low budget Atlanta based Dancing with the Stars that was just like a one night weird thing.
And that's so awesome.
And Joe, did you think, like, when they introduced Croy, he's younger than her and he's a pro football player actively on the Atlanta Falcons at this time. It shocked me that he wanted to be with her, that he even gave her the time of day.
Really? See, I always thought they were really well matched. I think they'd met each other's sort of, they were on like exactly the same level. They were the kind of couple where I'm like, I'm glad you found each other. Like, I don't agree with anything you stand for. I'm absolutely nothing like you. But there are like a few couples I can think of where I'm like, okay, the stars really aligned here.
I know. I agree with that too, weirdly. I just think that, like, on paper, he could do so much better than like a divorced mother of two reality star who looks like, I mean, I'm sorry, the wigs and everything. She's got a crazy ass look. She's got this fake music career. Just like, I agree with you that they loved each other so much. I want to know what, I can't wait to find out what in his chart made him think this woman was a good idea. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I'll just say this. As I started to look into these characters, I had the exact same reaction that Joe Gunn had to Princess Margaret, where I was like, she just seems awful. Actually, Molly, your description of her just warmed my heart a bit. So, you know.
Why? Is she lazy?
Yeah, like a lazy mommy with a sugar daddy on a reality show. I mean, I love anybody that's making it work. You know, I feel like for a lazy person, she's done well for herself in that case, you know.
Oh, like, absolutely. The fact that she has had multiple rich men even look in her direction is
a huge success.
Huge. Like,
yeah. And now Tom. she has this younger pro athlete husband who, you know, until this breaking news of the divorce, it seems like the word on the street was that they were like, yeah, I think people really thought long haul here.
Yeah, they were.
It was a long marriage. It was
according to reports too. Was it on the show? Like, they fell in love fast and they got married in 2 years and he adopted her children legally. And apparently it seemed like fairly stable.
She was dating a woman when they met. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I think she was doing the trend of dating a woman, right? Am I being really biphobic?
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
I think it was the Lindsay Lohan era, that kind of thing. I mean, Danielle Staub did it, although I actually do believe Danielle Staub is a bisexual woman. That's another story. But
yeah,
I think with Kim, it was love at first sight. And by sight, I mean his ass, because that's all she could talk about when she first met him, which is,
I mean, why else watch football? I'm literally watch football for the asses.
It's relatable, right?
Yeah.
His wallet must have, spandex when it's,
I think his wallet was probably in his back pocket and that's what she was talking about.
Or so she thought.
Yeah. And so, like, he was a football player and obviously that career doesn't last forever and you have to be really smart to make the money last. And Kim is a spendthrift hot mess. She used to gamble with his money. Apparently on the spinoff, there was a whole storyline of her gambling all his money away. Like, I feel bad for him, even though he made his bed. Like,
falling in love with an obnoxious person isn't really making your bed. I mean, Yeah, how could he have known?
It was so obvious. Oh my God, Sarah.
She just says like train wreck vibes.
Yes, there's three seasons. There's 30 hours of television readily available to him when he met her, just to see.
Right.
Like, it's just so funny with these shows, because you hear these things when you're growing up as a woman. Here's what men like. Here's what men don't like. Don't be this way. Don't be this way. And then you see someone who has every single red flag. Just pick up an NFL player like he's a pack of cigarettes. It's like, what?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, all right, she is like, she's got something going on.
She's
like,
got something. I don't know whether in person she's got a certain magnetism. There's something that she, like, maybe she just knows how to, she's a good flirt. I don't know, but that she must, I agree, Sarah. She must have something about her that's not coming through the screen. Are you okay?
I'm like all sorts of like coughs and sneezes over here. I'm very allergic, but I keep
coughing too.
I had some intense coughs and sneezes. And I guess not only is it contagious in real life, but also on the Zoom.
Yeah, it's really weird. But yeah,
but I don't know why I keep coughing. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, I think she is charismatic. I mean, she's iconic as a housewife. The moments that she created are truly incredible. Tardy for the Party, the song. The ring didn't mean a thing. I mean, both of those were obviously Candy Burris, who...
I mean, we also love a rhyme here.
Yeah. But do you know who Candy is, Sarah?
I literally don't know who that is.
Okay, No Scrubs.
She wrote No Scrubs. She was in X-Space, the band. She's one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta also. And she...
What? Okay, now you're making a real case for Atlanta here, actually.
I know. It's so good. She wrote the song... Well, the Tardy for the Party was a country song originally, and then Candy helped her spice it up a little bit. And it became like really successful, and Kim became a monster immediately. Like, she just immediately thought that she was Beyonce and started treating Candy like shit when Candy's like, you can't even sing. You're completely tone deaf. Like, these are just the things that you would think that like Croy or someone around him, a loved one, would have seen and been like, no, this woman's a monster. Like, run in the other direction. You know,
the irony, though, like how meta that now I sincerely feel Tardy for the Party.
Yeah,
like, what an evergreen song. Like, that does have real staying power.
I want to throw in this. I want to suppose that the sport that he's in, football, right? American football. There's a lot of head injuries, aren't there?
Wow. That's the take. Yeah. The official stance of the Space Trash podcast, thank you, Joe, is that he was concussed into finding her attractive and her voice good.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I love that. His eggs are scrambled and therefore breakfast in bed.
Yeah. So there was a report that their house was going into foreclosure, right? And that was what everyone was talking about before the divorce was announced. I mean, I think it should shock no one that now that he's seemingly run out of money, she is getting out of there. But like, a lot of people were saying that they think that them divorcing is going to somehow erase they're in over $1 million debt to the IRS as well. And people were like, oh, they're getting divorced so they don't have to pay it. And it's like, no, they still are going to have to pay it. Like, and then I saw something online, like people, I'm sure the Bravo docket. Do you listen to that, Joe?
No.
Oh my God. It's so good. So it's these two lawyers in the US and they read.
Oh, now that I would read, you know, it becomes sort of a side law junkie after Amber and Johnny. And so, yeah, anything law Bravo, give me the link. I will become an expert in that.
Yeah, they go through all the lawsuits of the Bravo stars.
I love that. That's
and unpack awesome. Them. It's amazing. The Bravo docket. I'm sure they'll do an episode on this, but I don't think getting a divorce clears your debt to the IRS. But what it can do maybe is protect assets. But I don't think that...
But why? Why would that? I don't think so.
Because you can say... Okay, like for instance... Dolores Catania revealed recently that that her and Frank Catania's house, he put their first house in her name, so that if he gets sued for malpractice or whatever as a lawyer, you can't get sued for malpractice, but whatever. If he gets sued for something that he's done, they can't take the house away from Dolores because it's her house. Do you know what I'm saying? So like,
I mean, I want to just say like, I love that. Also, at that point, it's like, what criminal shit is he doing? Like to prepare for being sued. Interesting. This
he was disbarred. He was later disbarred.
Okay, but, so like, this was all a part of, we do manifestation works, people.
Yeah. Like, I think the theory is if you're in insane debt as a couple, and you get a divorce, you can say, oh, well, she owns the house now. She owns this, this, and this. He's the one with the debt. Like, if they agreed to do this and then he declares bankruptcy, but she keeps everything and then they get back together after they clear the bankruptcy. Do you know what I'm saying? But there's no way these people are smart enough to do this. There's no way. And like, if there was any chance that Croy could get back on his feet after losing all this money, she would not leave, right?
I honestly don't know. I have to be honest. I never put many eggs in this basket. I sort of viewed this relationship peripherally. I wasn't super invested in it. I think I just sort of latched onto, okay, no, I can see them working. They're great. Okay. Like, am I shocked of the divorce? No, but only in terms of divorce happens a lot, you know?
But
I do think having money with as much as little effort as possible is a big priority for Kim Zolciak. And I feel like she would have just stayed married to be comfortable and, you know, had boyfriends on the side. Who's to say she doesn't, you know?
Yeah. The other thing is, what was I going to say? Oh my God, shit. I got distracted because Nick was pouring whiskey.
Beefcake. He just walked by. I was like, okay, Nick.
He is a beefcake. I know.
He's so cute. Yeah.
But that's what I was going to say. He would follow her around like a little lost puppy. Do you remember, Joe, that episode where they are at the lunch, where they all confront her for never wanting to film with them and stuff? He is waiting outside with the car running for her to, for her to get sick of the conversation and speed away. Like, he literally would just, like, she's just walking around and he's holding the back of her wig up so that it doesn't fall in a puddle, you know? Like, he was so devoted to her. And like, what more could she want than that? That's why it was so surprising to me that they were getting divorced, even though, like you said, Joe, it's never surprising when a Bravo couple divorces. It's still this one. I was a little bit like, they actually are a match made in heaven. Didn't he bring a gun to one of the reunions?
That tracks.
Let me Google.
Wow, they are literally living the American dream.
They're
this
like,
is the blueprint that has been laid out, and they are just, they're taking every step forward to make this the most demented country in the world.
They are like Bonnie and Clyde went to Walmart, you know? Like, if Bonnie and Clyde only robbed Walmarts, it would be Kim and Croy.
I feel like that's a sketch we could write. It me!
Yeah. So, okay, Andy Cohen admitted he feared Croy Bierman was going to punch him after a Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. He yelled at me in the bathroom, telling me I didn't protect Kim enough or focus enough on positive things that had happened to her. And I said there was nothing positive to focus on. Where let me control F gun? Okay. He was relieved production made the former football player leave his gun in the car during an unusually tense round of filming.
That is such a weird move to bring the gun to what could probably be predetermined as an unusually intense day on set. Like, what? Yeah, I think Joe really actually has set us up for success here in saying like, yeah, but look, of course you didn't have all your eggs in their basket, Joe. Half of them are cracked. He's a football player.
Oh, poor Croy. Why do I feel such... I never feel like empathy for a Housewives man because most of the men on these shows are truly, truly horrible. But for
He's actually sort of cute. In the research I've done, I prefer him to her.
Yeah. Okay. He said in the book, I prefer him to her 100%. He seems like he's just like a good husband. Like, he's nice. He was a provider. She spent all his money, not to fall back on like a truly misogynist trope. You will never
Please
hear
do.
Like, you will never hear me say this about a woman, but like, she spent all his money. His money is gone now. And like, and she filed for divorce. It's like, girl, what? Like, I don't know. But so, okay. Andy said, I didn't know at the time Croy had a gun with him because Georgia is an open carry state and production made him leave it in the car. He had also bought Kim's daughter a rose gold handgun for her 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Ugh. And Brielle, she's unfollowed him on Instagram, which
Brie like the cheese, like wow,
B-R-I-E, like the cheese. I mean, Anyway, Brielle, okay.
Brianna.
What?
Brielle and Brianna, that's what they're called. So I guess they got the B for the girls and the K's for the boys, right?
I thought it was Ariana.
Oh, yeah, no,
it's
you're
Bariana.
Right. See, right, there we go. See, that's how little I am really invested in this. I think as soon as she left Housewives, well, she's got a little cameo in this upcoming in this current season of Atlanta. So we shall see what that's all about.
I know. I mean, I want to see the fallout of this. Like, I want her back on television. That's the thing. She is good television. Like, the clips of her like smoking a cig and holding a glass of wine while she's listening to Tardy for the Party in her own car in the driver's seat, like in an early season. Remember that time when she's talking to someone and she's like, how do you spell cat? K-A-T. And she just doesn't even like stop for a second and realize she was wrong. She's funny television without meaning to be, despite being a terrible person. Okay.
You're making me remember these moments and wanting her back now.
Yeah, like
I
once
you... I do miss the openly smoking on camera. I miss that every day from Housewives and Vanderpump Kids.
Yeah, like most of them cover it up, but she would just be puffing away inside the house with her 10-year-old daughters, like put away from her.
She's from Pensacola, Florida.
That absolutely tracks. Is that Panhandle?
Yeah.
Can all you right. put that in, Molly? Can you translate that to a UK place?
Ooh, that's hard. I would say Essex, but like really far away Essex that no one wants to go to.
Okay, got it.
And with lots of mosquitoes and swamp.
And guns.
Yeah. It is hard to make a direct comparison. It really is hard because America is just one of a kind in so many ways, especially Florida. I mean, Florida is like unholy. It's just completely. Sarah lived there for a while.
It's like my favorite place in the world, but like, you know, I'm Lilith Chiron rising, so I'm unholy.
You're chaos. Yeah. Okay.
I also don't. I like to sort of get off on being a little counterculture. So to be like, you know, an anti-gun, a gun reform person among the toters, I love a challenge, you know. Although it is the only place when I've ever in my life, which is rare, but when I do have a little road rage and I'll like, you know, flip a bird in Florida, I'm like, please don't shoot me. Like, yeah, it is scary to be in states where, you know, people are just like allowed to have guns.
Well, New York and New Jersey are that now. You can open carry anywhere in the country because of that Supreme Court ruling.
Oh, man.
Sometimes I can't believe America is real.
It is like a really we're in a very like real dystopian moment. I mean, we're in the Pluto return, or we've been moving through the Pluto return of the United States. And so, yeah, we're seeing how all of our corruption has led to becoming the most powerful, really? Demented state in the land, or state in the
Pluto
globe.
Pluto return. Azealia Banks, I think, recently did an Instagram story and she said something like, America is literally turning into a third world country. And that just really stuck with me. Anyway, this is going down another track.
I feel like second world. I feel like second world. If there's a second world, America's already in that.
How could there not be a second world if there's a third world? If we're going small, large, we're missing a
meeting. I feel like third world, that's my bad. I feel like that's not politically correct these days, but you got.
Oh, I think it is,
I mean.
Really? Oh, I tell Desi she's from a third world country all the time. Should I stop? Shit.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say it anymore.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, everyone.
You're supposed to say developing country.
Developing
but that's
country. You're supposed to say primary bedroom.
Yeah, developing country is so silly because I heard someone call China a developing country the other day.
That actually might be the only one that's accurate. Like, yeah, they're continuing and continuing and continuing to develop.
Right. I'm like, China is like the oldest country in the world. Like, it's not developing. It's not like they just incorporated and they're kind of like figuring out plumbing. Right. I'm like, China is not a developed.
Right.
I just thought it was a really funny way to put it. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's just such an American spin on. It's like, here's the politically correct thing that we're going to say. And actually, it's just like, let's treat everything like it's Silicon Valley, even though like it's a facade. Like, it's not, these countries aren't developing. They're poor.
Right. A lot of them are not developing because of a lot of different like issues like corruption and other countries taking their resources. Like, some of them are straight up seriously not developing.
So right. Like, and actually they're being poached on, being drained dry.
Right. It's so silly when we make up these new words. But also,
we're developing psychosis, a developing psychosis country.
Yeah. The thing that's crazy, Joe, about living in the UK is I think, like, now that I'm used to not having guns around, I mean, I'm from New Jersey. So, like, there were never guns around. Yeah, there were never guns around. Like, in the Northeast, there's really not, unless you live in, like, rural, like, upstate New York. There might be shotguns for hunting, but I did not grow up in a gun place. No one I know owns a gun that I know of. But, like, there is always the lingering threat that someone could have one. And you don't even realize that until you're out of it. And now when I go home, I'm so paranoid because I'm like, now that I'm used to guns being illegal, like, there is no way anyone where I go in the UK has a gun. And if they did, they would be a super criminal. You know what I mean? Like, it's so unlikely. But
the,
like,
only gun in the UK is Joe gun. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, sure, we had a knife crime thing, like, well, we probably still do. I don't know. London schools, there was a whole big knife crime culture thing. Wow. But
I feel like at least that creates, like, an athletic, committed, you know, focused killer. Like, that's kill, like, talk about lazy, talk about lazy versus not lazy. Like, yeah, Kim got the guns, and the UK are literally fist fighting each other, passively wearing the same shoes as Megs, and otherwise doing knife fighting. Yeah. Actually takes a lot of,
you have to get off commitment. The couch, you have to get off the couch to use a knife, but
you might need to do a few push-ups to get
your fucking ass
going.
Up and work, like, yeah. But then again, there's no like big knife that's in bed with the government, you know what I mean? Like,
the machete, yeah. Monarchy,
machetes
by monarchs.
Big industry. And anyway, but yeah, no, I don't blame you for feeling nervous when you're going back to America, Molly. Yeah.
I've used this as an excuse to not see any of the superhero movies in movie theaters again.
Well,
like, I'll see them with boys, but I don't want
to
go to the theater because that's where the killers go.
I know. Oh, that's God. What I'm wondering too, like, about Hollywood. Why doesn't Hollywood start to fight back against the gun lobby with their money? Because I think you can definitely, like, there's a case to be made that fewer people are going to the movies, not just because of streaming, but because they're scared of mass shootings. Because there's been, like, two or three high profile mass shootings in movie theaters. So, like, I don't know why no other big money interest groups fight back. I don't get it. It sucks so bad because the vast, vast majority of people in the U.S. want gun control. Like, it's just, it's not even a 50.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. It's like 80%. Wow. Or something. Like,
you're no kidding. 80%?
Yeah. No one likes how it is. No one likes it. It's just that the NRA has so much money and they're able to pay off all the politicians. And there's a lot of gerrymandering where the Republicans know how to kind of carve up the voting districts so that they get more of a say. Right. And all of the rural states have more of a say overall in government than, like, for instance, the Senate. Alaska has the same amount of say in the laws we pass as all of New Jersey. You know
what?
Yeah, because they have two senators and we have two senators.
I guess, like, it's important, though, that we protect our salmon supply.
Right. It's ridiculous. Like, all of those big square states in the middle, they all have as much say per state as the ones that have a huge population in the Northeast and on the West Coast.
I just want to say I was being sincere. I actually take salmon extremely seriously.
I do too. I really like it. It has high omega-3s. It is just, like, I think it's a big misconception. Like, British people, and I'm not talking about you, Joe. I'm talking about, like, people on the internet. They just think.
Well, that's pretty much Joe, I would say.
That is Joe. Yeah,
he's an outlaw. Like,
a lot of British people think that we think our gun culture is normal and cool. And we don't. Like, we hate it. We are prisoners of a system that we don't support, you know?
Right.
And, like, it just fucking sucks. It sucks ass.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But I do like to hear that Montana boy Croy at least brought a gun to a deeply inappropriate place. And it launched us into this meaningful conversation for all of you British listeners to hear. We want you to know that we, as the Space Trash podcast representatives of the Americas, we don't want, like, mass shootings and stuff, and we don't really like guns, so you need to know that about us. We don't like Kim and we don't like guns.
Just so you know. Oh my God.
When we're talking about salary, like, because you were saying, like, I could see a football player thinking that a reality star, especially one that's not afraid to literally put out mass produced bad art in a way that's like, I could see where you'd think, all right, this person is going to be a cash cow, even when I'm not. Like, I could see where that could be argued. Like, that's, and I guess that's my next question. Do we know what his salary is and has been? And what does a housewife get paid? Like, do we know what her salary's been?
So it's my understanding that early in the seasons, the housewives would make like $7,000 for a whole season. Like
Bethany's what? First season. Yeah.
Bethany said that this week that was what she made. And then as they
why don't you just go to open mics? Why don't you?
Right. And then as they keep going, they make more and more and more. Bethany claims that when she came back, she was the highest paid housewife ever, making over $1 million for a full season. How she would know that, I don't know, but it is believable. Most of them,
she's
I think
a Scorpio, is how she knows, Mal.
Yeah, that's true. Most of them are making nowadays, Joe, I'll let you tap in a sec to let me know what you know. I think most of them are making six figures nowadays if they have longevity, if they've been on the show a long time. I think a new housewife is getting maybe like 60,000 to 80,000 for a first season. But so Kim starting out,
it's like entry level position as a reality star.
Yeah. So Kim starting out was probably sub 10,000 for sure. And then she made it 4.5 seasons. And probably, let's say by the end, I could see her being maybe six figures by the end, because she was she and Nene were like the breakout stars. So I could see her being around 200,000 by the end. And then they got the spinoff to Tardy for the Party. I'm speculating they probably were getting pretty decent six-figure salary for that as well. Mm. I don't think she was making much off of her music career, as it were. And I think he was making millions in the NFL, but he then ended up retiring. So, Joe, does that all ring true?
Yeah, 7,000, just basing it on what Bethany says they all got for their first season in New York. And it started around the same time. So that sounds right. I believe six figures is 100. My answer is that I don't know, but six figures does sound right for a seasoned housewife. I do believe I heard somewhere that it's by season three is where they start making the big bucks. So so a housewife's third season, you know, whenever they started, that's when it's like, okay, they can now like negotiate and start talking numbers that they want to stay on. And yeah, and with Tardy for the Party, she probably had an EP credit, you know, and so she would probably get more money for that. And so, yeah, no, I get Sarah. And then she probably like she fronted that she had lots of money, you know, Big Papa bought her loads of pretty things. So to Croy, dumbass Croy just saw this rich woman. So was fooled into believing she was wealthy and had like a solid grounding of wealth. I don't know.
Right. Like, this is the thing with so many housewives is their
I was just going to bring that up. Like, why do they all seem like we're finding out that they're actually not rich?
Because yeah, all of them are just all of these cities. It's not the real creme de la creme of society that they're showcasing. It's the people that are desperate to be that. So it's often the people that have built a financial house of cards to appear that way, and they don't actually have the money. Some of them have real money. Jill Zarin had real money, but then there's like Luann, who never had real money after her divorce. And like, they
doesn't
then
she also have a fake title?
Yeah, exactly. They
totally fake.
Yeah. They then become completely dependent on the housewife's salary. So they like we said, most of them are probably low to mid six figures, which is not enough to be fronting these lifestyles that they have. So like, they get addicted to the fame. They get addicted to the money. Their other jobs, like there was one, Whitney in Salt Lake. I know you know who she is. Her husband lost his job last year because he looked so stupid on the show. But I mean, they said that was why, but I think there is probably other reasons. But like, their lives sort of a lot of the time their lives sort of start to fall apart. All their other jobs go by the wayside and they become dependent on this reality TV salary. And in order for them to keep the reality TV salary, they have to look rich. So it's just a vicious cycle of like overspending to keep the money and then spending the money so that you can keep the job. You know what I mean?
It's like such a bummer though, because you would think that being on a reality show and having that, like a low six figure salary as your base income, you'd think it would be like a jumping off point to like easily get into, you know, side hustles. Like to
if you're
like,
smart.
Yeah. Like what a wonderful, like even what Bethany, like
Bethany
skinny girl is how it should look. Like, yeah. Like it, you use that platform to then, and your fame to then build businesses.
She's the blueprint. And she is why a lot of like a lot of the time you see these shows and you're like, why some of the people who just seem a cut above it, you're like, why is this person on the show? Like, I don't know, like Carol,
Carol. Yeah.
Yeah. The show was a little beneath her, but it's like, I guess she kind of, maybe she wanted to sell more books and like, she wanted to get more book deals. And then her one book was supposed to become a TV show. So like, it did help her in that way.
Right. We wouldn't be talking about her now otherwise.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I think maybe he was dumb enough to think but she lived in a condo. Like, I think he just loved her. Like, I think he just.
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, from what I'm hearing and when I look at their charts, I can see it. Right. I think they did have like a love at first sight. Well, when I show you the charts, I'll give you more info. But like, yeah, I think this was a past life karmic relationship. I want to throw one theory into the mix here, and then I'll show you the charts that as a non-watcher, but as somebody who's just thinking this through, as somebody, I don't want to be too loud because, I'm in the doggy daycare in the aftermath of losing our home. And like, I want to say, like, if my parents could have afforded to divorce when they lost all their money, they would have. Like, the fact that they still have divorce money means to me that there could be, like, are we sure she doesn't have some rich boyfriend that she's actually now, like to me, it's.
But Sarah, your parents are also smart enough to understand if that they would take a huge lifestyle hit if they got a divorce. Like these two.
I mean, they took a huge lifestyle hit anyway, but like.
Right. But like an even worse.
Keep us together.
An even worse one. You know what I mean? Like.
Right. Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't. Right. But it wouldn't be worth.
Hold on, Kim and Croy are not thinking two steps ahead. They're not even thinking one step ahead.
Oh,
right.
No,
okay. Okay.
That's for sure.
Keep talking. I can hear you. I just have to bring this dog upstairs and then I will do this wrong. Sorry.
Okay.
That's for sure. I think even Brielle or Ariana or whoever was interviewed about, it was like one of those on the street, how much money do you make people? You know, you see on TikTok?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I just think money comes and goes. It's like Monopoly money to me. She was very, I just think they're very much living day to day.
Yeah. Sarah loves that philosophy. That is Sarah's number one philosophy.
Oh, no, I can't.
Freaks me out. Well, it is. I mean, I guess there's a difference between being frivolous and having like an abundance mindset, which for me, having an abundance mindset works really, really well to just kind of like, I always through my 20s had a scarcity mindset that I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to be broke. There's not enough money. And then once you start kind of doing this work to think like, no, actually, like I've made it this far. I've not been homeless yet. Actually, like, I'm gonna be okay. There is always more money. Like, I feel like there's a healthy side of that coin, and then there's a foreclosure side of that coin. I don't know.
There's no coins.
Yeah.
I'll say a few things real quick. Living in poverty has made me a more creative person. This was not something this wasn't a lifestyle I chose, but again, Lilith, Chiron rising, the like job thing wasn't gonna work for me. And is that panic that you guys are describing, that feeling of like, oh my God, like I'm not going to have enough. First of all, it means you're not, you know, because that's what you believe. Even if you have money in the bank, because it's not enough, you never get to enjoy the amount that you do have, you know? But I think for me, the biggest thing has been like a nervous system thing, because like now if I'm super overdraft or I'm just noticing that like my blood pressure doesn't spike, my cortisol, like I it doesn't, I can be in the uncomfortable in, I can be comfortable being uncomfortable and always have enough. And I also think just like sincerely money's fake and like, it's not worth anything anymore. So like, I'm not anti like money or stuff or like savings, but like not having, not technically not having enough showed me how abundant I actually am. So, you know, I don't know, that's my take.
That's beautiful.
Thanks. But also feel free to pay me by readings, join the Patreon.
Yeah, like that's the thing.
I don't want to have to steal from Walmart. Why can I write that sketch? Because I know how it's done.
Yeah, like you do need it. That's the thing. It is made up, but like if you don't have it, you might die.
100%. Or you become, I mean, that, so my second book was going to be Life from the Overdraft. My first book was going to be a broke Jap's guide to getting what you want.
I love that. That is so good.
Because I have hacks for everything now. And like I learned, I can work. Now I'm not talking couponing. I'm talking when you're about to overdraft, if you're going to order Seamless, switch it to PayPal. It takes 2 days to process so you can refill the bank before you overdraft. I'm talking always have something to return from Marshalls so that you can always get liquid cash right away. They take returns anytime, any day, half a can.
Oh fuck. I was supposed to Marshalls? Bring, I was supposed to return something to ASOS today and I forgot.
Tomorrow's a new day, Mal. Tomorrow's a new day.
I know, but I'm flying to America tomorrow, so this means I have to get up early.
Ahoy mate, welcome back to the terror zone. Gonna be fun.
I can't, I have some balls though to talk about Kim being a lazy fuck when I look like this. I have to say, I just have to say, I understand that.
I mean, I wear this hat every single day.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're not saying lazy in a, I was, when you described her as lazy, I liked her. I'm like, wow, pretty successful for lazy. If lazy is a value, and maybe let's reframe lazy. Maybe it's not lazy. Maybe it's luxurious. Maybe it's slow paced. Maybe it's someone who enjoys the moment. Okay.
There's so, nothing okay. luxurious. I'm sorry. There's nothing luxurious about Kim Zolciak. You don't
she
know
She does
her,
seem,
Sarah.
No, yeah, she does actually seem like fairly ratchet. Like I, yeah, that's what I'm saying. When, she's my Queen Margaret. I was like, do we have to look into her? And the other, I guess the one other question I have is like, I feel like there's been a lot of Bravo divorces. I feel like there's been a lot of like Bravo money stuff. To me, like the Jen Shaw story is like way better than this. Like, I don't, this isn't a good story. This is just like people are getting divorced and they ran out of money. Like, I don't understand why this is like rocking the nation. Like, it's not that interesting.
No, but like Jen Shaw did rock the nation. We all remember
no,
where we were.
She did. But yeah, like, it's what, just... this is just like a run of the mill divorce.
Yeah, she's saying she liked the Jen Shaw story.
I
more.
Love criminal.
Oh, stuff. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's this the storyline of the moment. I don't know what to tell you. There'll be another one tomorrow. Like,
I feel like there's like also trickling. Just when I look up this stuff and then I see the other housewife headlines, it's just like, and this person is getting sued and this person's getting sued. It's like, I don't know. That to me is all more interesting than like, oh, these two people who've been married for a while lost all their money and are getting divorced. It's like, I don't know. I want to know about like criminal.
I feel like
activity.
It's the history. I feel like the answer is the history, and we've been with them for so long. The OG housewives watchers like Molly and myself. It's just something. It's the same thing with Scandival. Like the first thing, I don't know about anyone else, but when I first got the news, it was like, Tom and Ariana split. That enough for me would have rocked my world, let alone right. the Raquel part of it. That was like a what? I couldn't breathe. But it's the cool. That was to me was the Love is Dead thing, you know, and I would have been talking about that just as much.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the backstory for me. It's just crazy because like Kim Zolciak, this is terrible. I'm saying terrible things about this woman and it's not nice, but like her being happily married was such an anomaly. Like she just is. Like, it's just so crazy to me that she even found a person who was like, yeah, it's a great idea for me to tie myself to this person legally and adopt her children. Like, I just can't understand how she even got a partner with a real job to begin with. And now, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's so
real job mean. Is real job is sort of. It's a fantasy job that also gives you concussions, but like
it's such a high paying job, like a successful person, like to become an NFL player is so hard. He's one in a million.
The fact
that she pulled him and that they were so happily married for so long was already mind blowing. So now to see like, I guess the thing I'm dying to know is like, what was the last straw for them? Because he worshiped the ground she walked on for some reason, and she absolutely did not deserve that. So like, I think that's why for me, I'm just like, none of this has ever made sense. And now it makes even less sense. Like she, what can she get that's better than him? I'm sorry. Like, I sound like
I think
a bitch, but...
like, no, I think like someone who actually has a day job. I think she seems like she needs like an income.
Yeah, but like he already had millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, but it's dwindling. He, unless he's going to become a sportscaster, there's nothing to do.
So,
but the thing is that, so the money's gone either way.
But maybe like there's smarter, no plane.
A smarter person and a smarter partner would have figured out how to stretch that money. Let's do the astrology. Joe, let's me and you guess what we think their signs are.
So we're saying lazy, right? So I'm going to take one for the team and say Pisces is in there somewhere.
For Kim, I know that the Taurus is stereotypically the most lazy sign, and I'm a Taurus moon and a Pisces rising. That's why I have a demon in my head all day that's calling me lazy.
Right, like, literally.
I have such a complex about like not being a lazy person. But look at I look like shit today, by the way, guys. I forgot to say the disclaimer.
Your worst days are best.
We both think Pisces, Taurus. I think Kim's got to have some Leo in there just because of the wigs. Maybe she's a Leo North Node because she's trying so desperately to have a mane, but it's never going to happen.
And then, Leo because of the wigs.
I read that each one of her wigs cost $7,000.
There's no way. There's no way. They look like shit.
Where there's a will.
Yeah.
Now there's no will, but okay, let's see.
And then I think Croy... I think he's got Taurus in there as well. He's just a big dodo. And
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think he's none of the smart signs, not Aquarius, not Scorpio, not Gemini, none of the calculating signs. He's not like, you know what I mean? Like the ones where people kind of have a little bit of like a wherewithal, he doesn't.
Show us the charts.
Yeah, show us the charts.
Let's take a look at our girl, Kim. Kim is a 28 degree, late degree, Taurus sun. Go long. There's a lot of interesting stuff, so I'm going to try to pace myself. But she also has her, and it's significant for the astrology of this week, so I'm also telling this for you people to listen up, because this is a major week in astrology that has actually, no shit, that's why it's playing out. Like celebrities are trash, but astrology can help you understand, okay? But, okay, so Mercury and Chiron are also conjunct in Taurus for Kim. So her laziness and also her relationship to Chiron and Taurus, like money, material things, stability, security, support, is wounded into the thing. Her moon.
It's crazy. I'm so sorry to all of my, because I am a Taurus moon. Like, I'm so sorry to all my fellow Taurians, because God, we have a real murderer's row of representatives out there in pop culture.
But also, like, the whole moonule is supported by Taurus energy. So for better or worse, you guys do move mountains from your living rooms in phenomenal ways. And we love to see it.
Mm-hmm,
if Hitler was more athletic, you know. Anyway, okay. So I would like to see him doing knife fights. Okay?
I know.
He was a Taurus, but he would never move his arm that much to do a knife fight. Give him the Adderall and he's still going to sit around in the war room just telling people what to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, her moon is conjunct Pluto in Libra. So we have another Libra moon on our hands. Her north node is also in Libra. So when we're talking about the nodes, we're talking about past life, karma. the dharma that we are meant to be, our soul is growing into our dharma in this life. You go to one yoga class, karma and dharma. There's T's that describe it. Okay.
I don't get why a Libra would leave the house looking like that.
Because it's her north node. She's not there yet. Her life's work is to become a balanced person. And so where's her south node?
Well, also, side note, her life's, so they're always opposite. So if you have a north node in Libra, you have a south node in Aries, always.
I know you always tell me it's opposite, but I don't know what the opposites are. Well, so, okay.
Oh, well, learning. This is a, we all are learning here together.
So her south node in Aries means that she is rough selfish. And gruff and say whatever the hell she wants and has no filter whatsoever. And if she, Joe, does her life's work and does what this chart asks her, then she can become more Libra-like, a little bit more balanced, a little bit less of a crazy hot mess. But like, is she doing that work? Not that we've seen.
I don't think we've seen it from what I'm hearing. And what I'll also say is when we're talking about all of the different axes in astrology, so all the opposite, all the pairs in astrology represent sort of like, so for example, we've been in the Taurus Scorpio eclipse cycle. That's where the nodes, wherever the nodes are, is where the eclipses are. And it's like these fate points, eclipse points, changing the fate, jumping timelines, right? Taurus and Scorpio are all about money and power, right? Resources. Aries and Libra is about relationships. So Aries is me, Libra is we. So Kim's south node in Libra, I mean, Kim's south node in Aries indicates to me that she's coming from a place where she's not only, it's the first sign, so sort of like fighting for survival in whatever way, but in that vein, she like has to have her own back. Like she is someone who's looking out for herself. That's why I asked if there was like another like really rich guy in the wings or something, because it's sort of like she's, I mean, and with all that Taurus, she's doing a huge amount of self-preservation through relationships instead of doing her life's work, which is not only is her north node, her dharma, she's supposed to, yeah, she's going to learn the Libra, how to do we for real, but she also has her moon conjunct her Pluto, which means that, you know, we were talking about Pluto returning. It's like Pluto destroys everything so as to rebuild it. It exposes the underbelly. It exposes corruption. It's the id. It's our obsessions. It's our compulsions. It's that unconscious shadow side that if we don't get in touch with, we end up having a TV wedding and then getting divorced. Did they get married on TV?
Yeah.
Have any TV married couples stayed together?
That's a good question.
Greg and Nene, they were kind of separating again toward the end, but they stayed together because he was sick.
Because he was sick, sort of. But they got married on the show.
They got remarried. They divorced and remarried.
Okay, so that's okay. Maybe that's not the best example of a straightforward union that works. But yeah. I just think it's a bad omen to get married on TV. Side note.
Yeah,
but
definitely. I think that she's regressing because I feel like when she was with Croy, it did seem like evidence of character development where like she's having more kids. She's picked someone who is, he did seem like he was a good father to her girls and he adopted them. And he was like a father figure to these two stepdaughters, which is hard. Like it seemed like she was kind of putting the collective first a little bit. And like she was sort of having this robust family life. And now to see he runs out of money and she bolts is like, that's kind of going back to her comfort zone, which is her Aries South node, which is, it's all about me and my safety. And like, I just think, yeah, there's got to be another rich guy in the wings, which is also just insane. It's so funny. It's so funny that she gets these guys. It's hilarious.
I mean, she must just like be able to just super deep throat or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like
I didn't want to take it there, but maybe she's got a magic, you know, skill set.
She had her little dangly dong removed or something just to ensure as her insurance policy.
I wonder if Big Papa is still alive. Also, I did want to touch on just in this podcast that she was 29 when she started Housewives.
I know, she looked 45. Wow, really?
Yes, that's why I'm saying it. Yeah, it's just always, when I remind myself of that, it's just funny. Sarah, if you Google Kim Zolciak season one, you're looking at a 29-year-old, just so you know.
It's insane.
That's also, I mean, that shocks me. I don't think I've ever seen a picture of her when she's under 50, so.
Right. Do you know what else? She used to be a nurse, Sarah. She got through nursing school.
Wow. Man. Wow.
That's crazy, right? Like,
I mean, maybe she just thought, like, no offense, flight attendant, but like, maybe she just thought she could just like push around the carts or something.
I don't know. Like, there was this great storyline in Phaedra's first season. Phaedra comes on and she's pregnant and she keeps pretending that she doesn't know how far along she is. And all the women are like, what do you mean you don't know how far along you are? And she's like, girl, I don't know. These doctors, they keep telling me, but I don't know what I am. And then she starts saying that they're going to induce her at 7 months.
It's got to come up out of here.
Yeah. And everyone's like, Phaedra, no doctor in the world would induce you at 7 months. It's not possible. And she was like, I don't know. It's just what they're saying. They said the baby's done growing. And Kim pulls out her nursing credentials. And she's like, I used to be like a nurse. I was helped deliver babies. Like, no doctor is inducing you at 7 months. And then finally, Phaedra, because she can't help it, because none of these women can help it, invites the cameras into the delivery room, and Candy goes with her, and Candy has to, I love Candy for doing this. She like asks the doctor, how far along is she? And the doctor's like, 40 weeks. And Phaedra's like, fuck. Cause she was lying, Sarah, because her husband was still in jail, at the point that, or no, it was because she and
it was
her
a
husband,
shotgun wedding.
Yeah, it was a shotgun wedding. She was 2 months pregnant when they got married. So her mom is a pastor and she had to lie about it. And she pretended that she had the baby at 7 months so that no one would do the math and figure out that she was pregnant on her wedding day. And she kept up the lie with all these women who all have kids, who all know that no doctor is inducing you at 7 months. And she kept up the lie on television. It's amazing.
Why wouldn't she just say it was a preemie?
It was one of the one moments where Kim actually had some intelligence behind what she was saying and was like,
I mean,
an impressive.
It's not that much of a reach to be like, hey, no doctor would be down for delivering your literally undeveloped baby. Underdeveloped.
Because yeah. They're at a Mother's Day dinner and she's like, oh, I'm about to have a baby. Any tips? And they're like, yeah, keep it in. Oh, the duration of the pregnancy.
No, it's like if you've ever put a frozen burrito in the microwave and eat it a little too soon, that middle will break your teeth. It's so frozen. You don't really want to fuck with cook times.
Yeah. Joe, what podcast? You said you were on a podcast where you recap.
Well,
this.
I did called She Speaks Bravo with this woman called Emily. I don't know why I even said it like that. That's so weird. Why am I so weird? There's a podcast called She Speaks Bravo.
You're not weird, and Joe.
We did the episode, just a recap of the episode. It's called Hot Mama's Day. And
love
yeah.
It. But yeah, I just can't believe Kim went to nursing school and got through it and actually worked as a nurse. Like, that's terrifying. There's also this thing on TikTok where there's this new trend where people are like, oh, all the meanest girls from your high school become nurses.
That's hilarious.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know it?
Mm-mm. I'm just, like I said, shocked that this woman was a nurse. So Sarah, what else do you want to tell us about Kim's chart?
Well, her Venus is in Gemini. Again, part of why I asked, like, could there be another man in the wings? Venus and Gemini people, and this is not across the board, and I love Venus and Gemini people, and I'm a Gemini rising, but Gemini is duplicitous. It's duality. And if you have your Venus in Gemini, you need not only like a lot of stimulation, but sometimes you need two boyfriends, or you need like, it is 100%. If you have your Venus or he has his Venus or whatever in Gemini, it does not mean they're a cheater. But if you find out they're a cheater and their Venus is in Gemini, you're like, okay, yeah. When we found out Rose was wearing the shoes as a Pisces, we were like, okay, troll.
Yeah. So where's her moon and rising?
We don't know her rising. We do not have a time, which shocks me. It seems like she would be the type to be like, everybody, here's my chart, analyze me. But Margaret.
Yeah.
Her mom, you can send the dog downstairs if he's barking.
Yes, send him into the podcast.
All right, I'm on a podcast, so don't yell at me right now. Thanks. Stop speaking.
Joe,
I'm recording a podcast.
Myra broke her arm.
I'm in fucking hell. no, like, I don't know if you can, why am I so dysfunctional today? I don't know if you can see the bags under my eyes, but I literally am like prepping you, mom, for what you're like. I'm not a new mom, but I have an old injured mom and 5 geriatric dogs here, and I have not slept a wink. I am like burnt. They are killing me.
You look amazing. You look amazing. Your skin looks
blasting my face with light. So thank you so much. But anyway, okay. So her moon is in Libra, but on her Pluto with her north node. Like, so she thinks that, like, moon in Libra, like, she wants relationships. She wants people to like her. She wants everyone to be happy.
Her mode of income is relationships.
That's such a good sort of lesson in the, hold on, this fucking dog.
And even if she can't monetize the Croy relationship anymore, she's going to monetize her relationships with her children. She already is. Like, she's already gotten the girls a full TV makeover, and they're like so young, you know, like, she's going to keep trying to Partridge Family this bitch out.
Okay. But here's the thing. It's not going to work unless she actually does that deep shadow work, kills her ego, and actually does relationships.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Well, then we can look forward to a couple more TV divorces from Kimye, but it's like, I don't know why I call her Kimye. It's just like Kimye. But it's like moon conjunct Pluto in Libra. She has real soul excavation to do when it comes to the way she's being in relationships. It's her life's work. But, you know, Pluto conjunct the moon, it's a very intense combination in the sign of relationships. It's also where her north node is. So it's like the whole thing is like, why that Chiron, the wound with her Mercury and her sun in Taurus, why is she not able to find financial stability, even though her husband had a high income, she had a high income? You could start a beauty brand with the girls. What's a makeover worth if you're not actually like capitalizing on it? Hello. But like, it's like a TV makeover. But it's like, unless she actually learns her north node, or unless she heals her past life Aries karma and moves in the direction of her north node rebirth in actually safe, comfortable, authentic relationships. Like, I think maybe the reason why this divorce, from what I'm learning, is so shocking is because I think it probably seemed like this was a end game relationship.
Yeah.
And I think
he was like her butler. Like, it just, what more could she want as a person? It just seemed like it was the thing that she would want till she dies.
If they were together forever, I'd just be like, okay, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you do relationships as your job, not that marriage isn't a business in and of itself, but like, if you're doing relationships for the sake of just getting someone to pay, go on Tinder dates to get a few free dinners. It's like, as somebody who literally returns half candles from Marshalls, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't waste someone's time or use people unless it was like a genuinely, like,
it just seems like the hardest way to make money. It just seems so hard.
Well, I don't think it seems hard as much as it just seems like, don't put a ring on it necessarily. It's just like, if you're gonna be with people until they can no longer financially support you, don't make it legal.
Well, it, I mean, for
Libra,
her.
Libra also represents the legal system, the justice system. It represents beauty. It represents balance, harmony. So her moon and her Pluto, like, hypothetically, she thinks she wants relationship, balance, harmony, beauty. It's conjunct her Pluto. So it's actually coming with a lot of like shadow work demons that she actually has to face, so that she can actually get that thing that actually makes her feel comfortable, heals her Chiron, gives her money, but also just gives her that like security. Like, this, when I look at this chart, it's like, she isn't a like secure person.
Well, no. Okay. Can you tell us Croy's chart now?
Croy. Oh my God. That's not Croy. Croy. Virgo sun.
What year was he born?
85.
To name a child Croy in 1985. I mean, they were on like something.
He's in Montana. I feel like there was like a fight between his parents. He was like, I think it should be Carl. I guess they don't have, what kind of accent they have in Montana?
The one on Yellowstone. It is sort of like that.
I think it should be Carl. And the other one's like, I told my daddy before he died, we'd name him Roy after him. They're like, I know. That's the Montana creatives. We're making Croy.
I just feel like this made up K first name thing is such a 21st century invention. Like his parents were onto something, you know,
his
what
parents
I mean?
Are like, look, the Kardashians are doing it. We're doing it. He's Croy.
Yeah. Like they were onto something. These kind of stupid ass names are just
Croy walked so that Apple could run.
Yeah.
Thousand. Okay. So yeah. So basically he has his sun in Virgo. He has his moon in Leo.
Virgo sun, Leo moon.
He's a good athlete. This is definitely the chart of a good athlete. Like he, Virgo sun cares a lot about health, cares a lot about the body, is meticulous with how he cares for the machine that is his physical being.
I also think like if you're going to have a servant, which he was Kim's servant,
make it a Virgo.
Virgo is the best sign for totally. That. For that
1,000%. I love working with Virgos. I mean, that's why also like Lagerfeld, like he wasn't the CEO, but he was like going to come and fix the brand because yeah. Virgos are fixers. I actually also probably think one of the things that probably attracted him to her is that he's like, I could fix you.
Yeah, yeah you're so
I'm
right.
not big. I don't love it when you call me Big Papa, but I love it when you call me Mr. Croy. That's like stupid, but like I love it when you call me your husband. But so he's a Virgo sun. He's a well-oiled machine. His moon is in Leo, so he has a lot of energy. He does like to be out there on that field. He loves all the jerseys with his name on it. He's not getting rid of any of them. He
didn't bother to think of a backup career.
Yeah,
besides reality star, which tracks for a Leo.
Yeah, and I think maybe he just thought like, I think he probably thought Kim was the money in the bank. And she was like, I think it's like they both were like, you're the money in the bank. And it's like actually that mirror. That's why you have to do your inner child work. You have to do your shadow work so that you're not looking in a dirty mirror, seeing someone else's dirty mirror and like just getting the wrong idea about who's actually in charge of the money.
Oh, shit. I need to think about that in my own life. Who am I looking at and being like, oh, my God, you're perfect. But it's actually just fucked up me.
Right. Like, and you can say, oh, my God, you're perfect. As long as the way that you talk to yourself is, oh my God, you're perfect. But if you're looking like, oh my God, you're perfect. And then you're making all sorts of like guesses and assumptions about what somebody else's life might be like, then you're just not that we're like so into living in reality. Obviously I'm abundant. I don't need money, but I do think you want to, when I say live in reality, I don't mean honor all Matrix creations. Well, like you want to be accurate in the things that you are in the data that you're collecting from the world so that you can move forward accordingly. So it's like, yeah, if I think they both were like, you'll be my cash cow. And as a result, nobody's got any milk. Now, his North Node is in Taurus. So he's been going through his nodal return the past 18 months.
The chickens are coming home to roost, but not in his McMansion because it's foreclosed.
You know what's so funny too? I read that they're still living together. They're not speaking, but they're living together and they unfollowed each other. To unfollow each other on Instagram while you're still living together is like, what's the point?
Like, and it's again, like you're leaving a paper trail for people to write about. Just mute the person.
You have the same address.
What'd you say, Joe?
I'm just saying that's what they want people to write about them. They still right. want fame and attention. So they, yeah, unfollow. People will notice it. They know that people will notice it.
It's just funny though, because it's like, okay, unfollow, but like I will be following you using the bathroom afterwards. It's like, there's your fucking house. Like, whoa.
Yeah, you live together. Literally, you can still smell each other's farts.
Right. It's like, yeah, you're following, bitch. But okay, so his North Node is in Taurus, where her son and Mercury and Chiron are. So I think
he put her on a pedestal.
He also has his North Node conjunct his Lilith. So there's something about him learning how to like not repress his own, like, why was he attracted to Kim? Because in whatever way, she has her, well, do we see where Kim's Lilith is? Actually, I'm kind of curious.
So Kim is unapologetically herself. And like, it makes sense that someone whose North Node is in Taurus, who like he feels subconsciously like he needs to be more like her somehow.
Well, and I also think that he felt like being married to her or being her man was a way for him to, and I actually think he's right about it, but it's like, like his North Node conjunct Lilith, he's meant to move into a life where he is embracing, living, embodying, supporting the dark feminine. So I think in many ways, one might say Kim, when he meets her, she's with Big Poppy. She's got two little daughters. She's like sort of a wild card. A bad singer with a rhyme of a hit is like so funny. I think he was like, now she's a dark feminine and I will not repress. Like his parents were probably like, we fucking hate her. Like he's from Montana. She was probably terrifying Pensacola. Like I think he thought she was like so rebellious and bad girl that he was like, okay, I'm gonna commit to that. But
he is so dark feminine. Just like, even if you don't know what that means, it's like, oh yeah, she is dark feminine.
Like, she is. She's shadow. She's and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm Lilith Rising. We all have that part of us. But it's like, unless you have a good relationship with that part of you, then you're either going to be repressing it or it's going to bubble out from you. Like Lilith can't actually be repressed. We as humans will try to repress our Liliths. But if you try to repress your Lilith, it's just going to come out like at the wrong time at the wrong place, or it's going to become an obsession or a compulsion or overtake you. And no matter what, if you don't have a good relationship with it, Lilith leaves you feeling shame. So you really have to heal that inner child. You have to heal that shame work. That dark feminine work is important to be constantly aware of. And in Taurus, it's interesting too, because it really has a lot to do with being real about pleasure. Like is like, I don't know. It would be interesting to me just looking at his chart. Like, I don't know, like maybe there's a more feminine side of him that he is like not sharing or wants to share, or you
he's
know,
very
him,
pretty for a football player.
Yeah. I sort of think he's cute. I also think it's interesting. His Chiron is in Gemini where her Venus is. So I think he thought, oh my God, my heart is healed. And actually it's a broken heart, a broken partnership, a disappointment in terms of who he thought his, no, the mirrors were dirty. She's not your twin.
I could see, I don't know why this came at me, but I think I could see Kim pegging Croy.
Oh, no, that goes without being said. I thought that was implied.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. But I think it's like the part of him that hasn't actually put that on television or talked about it is that might've saved the relationship. And in fact, they could have started a kinky sex toy company. And right, he's meant to, and like, right, his South Node, his Saturn, his Pluto are all in Scorpio. So like, yeah, this guy does have a bit of kink to him. Virgo Sun, he loves a little pain. Leo Moon, he wants to perform. But, you know, I think he is meant to actually become safe in and expose and share more of the natural inner feminine in him that is, yeah, a naughty girl.
I like that. That's something that you can detect about him, that he sort of is like saying that he's a servant of the dark feminine and like he's got this feminine side. Like I really, you can pick that up about him, and I love it about him. And like, it, yeah. I think that's why I thought they would be endgame, because she is a dark, dark character. He seems to be like, he's like her little minion. He is like the hyenas and she's like Scar. This is the second episode in a row that I brought up Scar. What is wrong with me?
Worst uncle ever. So this is the chart of their relationship.
Just looking at this composite chart, it looks like a cat's cradle, like all the little lines in the middle. It looks so, it looks
so
poetically intertwined.
And the cat's in the cradle and the yard sale of silver spoons. So... in this relationship, I'm doing a lot of evidence tonight. It's good. The sun of this relationship is conjunct Venus. So actually same kind of vibe, but the sun is conjunct Venus and the North Node and Mercury in Cancer. So the fate of this relationship is connected to the ego, the solar energy, what this relationship appears to be like in Cancer, which really is domestic, right? So there was a natural fit where it's like this, you know, it's a very Venusian couple in that way, where it's like the sun with Venus in, it's like, and he adopted her kids and he's younger but accepts her that she's an old bag or whatever. It's like there's a real and for a while there it seems like they were doing their work together, like there was an energy of like, this is home. Kim is more settled, more or less, I guess. I don't really know. But this relationship provided like a safe space, I think, for both of them to, you know, feel safe at home getting pegged or whatever. But this is why
I think, okay, I can't believe she's 7 years older than him. That is wild. And he was like 22, what, like 25 when they met? It's such a crazy choice. This is, do you understand?
What's wild about it to me, though, is I think she looks 15 years older than him.
Right. It's crazy. Do you understand why, to me, I think he, and I'm sorry to say this, like, he could have done so much better. Like, he could have.
And he still might.
But the fact that so much of this, of their stuff is in Cancer, what I was going to ask you was, do you think they'll get back together based on their chart? And now I've answered my own question, because knowing how much of it is in Cancer, knowing how much Cancer values the home, I feel like if they get the house back, she's going to call off the divorce. Like, if he can kind of show that stability again, I feel like it's going to be, they're just going to pretend none of this ever happened.
They still live there.
Yeah, they still live there.
Together.
So, like, the foreclosure sale was canceled. Like, I can see if something happens, if something changed, allegedly, that I read that on Twitter, I didn't fact check it, but if something changes where it's like, okay, never mind, we're actually financially okay.
I actually love this. Right. Save the house, save the marriage.
I think she'll call off the divorce.
I actually don't think that's a crazy idea. I think if anything, maybe because now he's being forced to reckon with the fact that, like, I mean, his Lilith is in Taurus. He might say, okay, Kim, you know what? You need to call Big Papa. I love it when you call Big Papa and you can fuck him for money. Like, he needs to embrace sex work a little. Like, but I think it's interesting too, because Kim's Lilith is in Cancer. So she's actually creating some domestic, dark feminine, making everybody feel kind of unsafe. But ultimately, yeah, maybe actually, you know, for their relationship, it actually could, maybe things were, I mean, it's been a long time. Maybe they're getting bored. Maybe they want to spice things up. Sometimes you gotta, you know, it's over, it's time for love again, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I think
it's possible that, like, they might have just, sometimes it's boring to be in a stable marriage, I imagine.
I think he idealizes her so much and he's so subservient to her that he would respond positively to a divorce filing in this way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he might be like, ooh, okay, I'm going to put my thinking hat on now and I'm going to really find a way to make this up to you, because you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but what does he have to make up to her?
That he ran out of money because she spent.
But he
it
didn't
all.
Run out of money. She gambled and spent all of his money.
I know, but I just think this is the way they operate. Their relationship.
I mean, it's
works.
Possible though. He is a Virgo sun with his Mars in Virgo, so he really is a fixer with a lot of Leo, like, masculine but performative talent. Like, I do think that he's pissed that she wanted to get a divorce and was doing this publicly before she maybe gave him an opportunity to, like, she might have hid how in debt they were. She might have, there might have been some miscommunications happening because her Chiron is on her Mercury in Taurus, where he might have been like, you didn't even give me a chance to start a side hustle or to get involved in another career. Or, you know, he might feel a bit abandoned. He's like, I'm the fixer. How can you not let me try to fix this?
About him, he's unemasculatable. Like, I think he, and I kind of love that about him. Like, he is just like, he I think he's very secure in his masculinity, because
yeah, I like his chart actually.
Yeah, if he wasn't secure in his masculinity, he never would have married her.
100%. Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that in this relationship, the sun, I mean, so the sun and the Venus and the North Node and the Mercury are in Cancer. Now, what's interesting though, the South Node of the relationship is in Capricorn. So this is about actually releasing the public relationship or the status oriented or even the business. They might have been business partners in a past life. And in this life, they are learning to actually be domestic partners. Like, that's sort of the vibe here.
they are accidentally business partners because
well, marriage is business partnership.
But like even they are, and they accidentally became co-stars on a long-running TV show. Do you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. But that's right. They were like, oh, this feels natural. We're just on TV now, and we're a famous couple. Yeah, that makes sense.
They could have done so much. It's actually
more about. Sorry, I'll just say this. It's more about the behind closed doors. It's more about the cancer, like inner what you don't see in the home stuff that they're actually. The fact that they're living together but not speaking is the universe asking them to like actually dig into this deeper work together. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say that they could have done so much better business together if Kim wasn't so lazy and chaotic. Like, if she knew what was good for her, she would have hired a business manager, you know, had a wig line. That's the obvious first thing. Right?
Why didn't she do a wig line?
She would continue with the music, even though, you know, just trashy pop songs. There's so like Kim's Beauty, whatever. Everyone's got a fucking lip kit line.
Right. Why doesn't there's she have, so I mean, much. Again, North Node in Libra, though, that is actually her work to turn her interest in beauty into her, like what she offers the world.
But that's Judaism. The North, right? That's what she's trying to get to.
That's what she's that not, her soul she, is meant to grow into.
She's never going to get there. I'm sorry. She's never going to get there.
Beauty's a strong word, too, for her aesthetic.
Lol, I know. But it's like definitely like, it's a look.
I think, like, yeah, what you're saying, she has, this is going to sound insane, but it's true. She has all the makings of a Kris Jenner.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. She's sort
athlete
of like
husband, television show on a big cable network, 6 kids. Literally, Kim, fumbled the bag. Yeah, you should be Kris.
It's so easy.
Okay, but get this. Right now, Mercury is retrograde on her Mercury. The North Node in the sky is on her wound. So actually, this is a very faded moment for her. The bag is not fully fumbled yet, folks. Okay. There hasn't actually been a foreclosure. Instagram, Schminstagram, they're living together still. And if anything, this exposing of
I like how you just said Schminstagram.
Doesn't everyone say Schminstagram?
No. Yeah, I loved it. Instagram, Schminstagram. What a great thing.
Schminstagram. Yeah. I think right now fate is pointing. We just had our last Scorpio Taurus eclipse. I think fate is this whole last 18 months has been pulling her towards her deepest wound, which is that she's not financially secure. She doesn't have the material basics, low degrees, the material basics that she needs, whatever that means. And the bag is not fully fumbled yet. In fact, I do think that there's a chance that they save the relationship. She's about to have, he just went through his nodal return. She's about to have a nodal reversal. The North Node is ticking towards Aries starting in July, and her South Node is in Aries. So actually, there's an opportunity to sort of
bounce back.
Yeah, like when the North Node is transiting your South Node, it's like, best case scenario, you like remember, I'm going to express this in a, like a too esoteric way that makes no sense. So like, forgive me in advance, but like Mercury's retrograde, but it's like, to me, what I think about is like, okay, so the nodal alignments happen every 18 years. And that's when fate is pushing you. Like the tides are crashing in the direction of the new timeline that is your fate that sets you into alignment. Ben and Jen broke up. 18 years later, those Scorpios got back together during the matching eclipse cycle, right? Between that, there's the opposite. There's a nodal reversal. So every 18 years, but on the off year, okay, this is now, I'm cutting that, but every 9 years, we all have a nodal reversal, which instead of it being like fate is aligning you in the direction that you're meant to go into, fate is actually showing us where we've been. And sometimes when you go back into the old closet, you find something you thought you lost, or you find an incredible vintage something. It wasn't vintage before. It's vintage now. It's like there are actually treasures in our past. Karma isn't always like a bad thing. There's also an opportunity for her to learn her lessons, her Aries lessons, where it's like, hey, Kim, the irony here, because you're attached to so many people, four kids, you doing self-protection.
Six kids.
Devastating. It's like you doing self-protection and actually ultimately isolating yourself from everybody and requiring everyone around you to like pick up the pieces isn't actually protecting you or anybody. Like, perhaps she can do that actual self-work, remember who she really is, who you really are, Kim, and show up to, while the South Node is transiting Libra, it'll be moving across her moon, across her Pluto, across her North Node, there's going to be kind of like a release, like a mega drainage of all of her relationship. You know, it's like she does need to go back in the closet. She's going to give a lot of it away to make room. And then she's also going to find some pieces where she's like, oh shit. Like, I think the South Node is going to drain her of all of the things that she thought was going to make her feel comfortable in a relationship. I almost think that what this relationship could use, if anything, is a desire, or how do I put it? If the house is saved, I think what this relationship has the potential to do, also in the chart of the relationship, Saturn is in Libra. So marital woes incoming sort of makes sense, but the North Node of their relationship is in Jupiter. So actually, if they actually learn to work together in this marriage, not just as like, you're my cash cow, no, you're my cash cow, no, you're my cash cow, come peg me secretly or whatever it is. If they actually learn to build together in authentic, safe relationship, when they actually become, because there's so much fire in this chart. I mean, but
I thought
not,
they did have an authentic, safe relationship. I think that she's,
if you're gambling all of your husband's money away, no one's safe.
But I mean, I think emotionally they were safe together, and the money is the missing piece here. And I think once they figure out the money, like, I think she's mistaking the lack of money for this relationship being over. Do you know what I mean? And
yes, once, but if you're even coming from that perspective, the relationship may have never begun to begin with. Like, I think what he's looking for, and it wasn't that, isn't everyone saying that he said like, my ring was real or something, my ring meant something?
Oh, it was the song. It's one of her stupid songs.
Oh, okay. Neat.
I but think like, that he's there's an opportunity. Her but still, I think, like, I
think he would have been broke with her. I think he would have said, I actually love you. And
yeah,
I mean, he's a Virgo, Mars Virgo sun. He's like, did you read the vows? We said them like for better or worse.
I agree, but that's why I think if he somehow convinces her that the money's going to be okay, she's going to retract the divorce filing.
Yes, I agree. But I think instead of it being like, I'm convincing her that the money's going to be okay, I think that she needs to make clear that even if it's not, we're going to be okay. And from that place, the money will be okay. Like, you can't, that's like, I just feel like you can't really live on a, like an, you can't, to live in ultimatum world does not nurture and facilitate, I think, healthy developing country style love.
Yeah, I just think after this nodal return you're talking about happens, she might have the smallest little shred of self-awareness to say,
yeah,
actually, my life was better with him. Joe, what do you think? Do you think they'll get back together?
I think maybe, yeah, after this nodal thing blows over, she might come to her senses. I mean, just every Mercury retrograde, you do have that... you can see clearly now the Mercury retrograde's gone. Like, I mean,
and right now we're in Mercury retrograde and it's on her wound and her Mercury. She's having a Mercury return. So she is thinking about finances and I think she's having a rethink about what she actually values.
Baby, yeah, if she's thinking about finances, to quote Kim Kardashian, another Kim, she needs to get up her ass and work. She needs to sign up for every reality show. She needs to do Traitors. Yes. She needs to do the real Dancing with the Stars with Croy. That would make headlines. They need to then get back together. Then they need to bring out a book about how they saved their marriage. They need to get it together. And it's just right there. It's so frustrating.
I think you're right, though. I think how they saved their marriage while they're on the brink of divorce and losing it all is absolutely the track I would get on. And I think you're exactly right. You're both right. Where what I think, what I hope this nodal reversal gives to her is more of a window into her actual Aries, like how she's been being about relationships actually, which is relatively transactional, like exclusively transactional, unfortunately. And she might actually take some ownership, go to Gamblers Anonymous. She might actually share some things about herself that she's been on some level trying to, you know, you'd think, how could she be concealing anything? She's sharing it all. But no, her Lilith's in Cancer. And I think if she could take responsibility for her part of what brought them to this tenuous, you know, bridge that is, the pieces are falling as they take, that's what, you know what I'm trying to say, like when you're walking between in the forest, in the rainforest. Anyway, I think what brought them to this really like scary place in their relationship where, I mean, in their relationship, the Chiron, the wound, is at 25 degrees Taurus. It's right on her sun. Also, we've talked about it a lot. It's right under the Algol fixed star, which is the Medusa star. It's basically the kill or be killed star.
Oh my God. Medusa is a great analog for Kim. The snake hair.
Yeah. Wow. Right. And like, she's terrifying people by seeing right through them. And it's like, but now we're villainizing her. And yeah, it's sort of Medusa-esque in nature. But yeah, I think what's interesting is like the moon of this relationship. It's like, hey, are you guys willing to like actually function as a healthy couple? Which no matter how in love they ever were, like, I don't think it's like a really, like, it's a nice fantasy, but like, I'm not actually looking for a butler in my marriage. I will just hire a butler when I embrace money as normal. Like, I right. like actually, she needs to, he's a Leo moon, Leo Venus. He can get a lot of mileage out of being so proud that he has this like hot musical famous wife. But at the end of the day, he wants to be celebrated too. And I think if she's not treating him not only like an equal, but someone that she is partnered with, this moon in Virgo in the relationship chart, I think it's like, and it's on his son, I think it's like, yeah, we actually need to focus more on Bierman. We actually need to, why aren't they make a line of kegs, you guys? If you're going to change your name to that horrible name anyway,
come on. Literally, yeah. Anything.
Tailgate with the Biermans. We'll get back into the football game. Well, that's the show. I just wrote the show. I love that for them. Tailgating with the Biermans, and they drink beer before games, and that's they'll both do color commentary.
Well, as always, Sarah, you've made me feel so much more empathetic toward Kim Zolciak, which I thought was impossible. I'm actually rooting for her now to figure this shit out for herself and not walk away from this man who loves her.
Yes, and that's the value of astrology, that actually it offers a compassionate lens to everything. When you can understand where someone's coming from, it's really hard to keep judging them.
Yeah. Or even,
like, even Trump, like, right. But like, even Trump is like, he was born on a psychotic. His sun is conjunct his north node. His moon is conjunct his south node. He was born on a full moon Gemini Sagittarius eclipse. Like, hate him or love him, definitely a little bit of both. But like,
we're lucky he's not a serial killer.
1,000%. And like, he is living his destiny. He is actually meant to be here doing what he's doing, whether it is, you know, physically harmful to others or not.
Having said that, I would not be surprised if Donald Trump is specifically responsible for at least one person's death.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure it's happened. Yeah.
Next lawsuit.
So, Joe, has this changed your perspective on Kim and Croy at all?
This was so, I was like learning it as, and I was like learning the symbols when you were saying that's that. I like, my brain was like, okay, that means sun, that means moon. Obviously, that means moon. It's the moon symbol. Anyway, whatever. But like, I don't think it's made me as sympathetic as it has you, Molly. I'm still kind of like indifferent to them. But this was enlightening. I'm always just so fascinated with a lot of this astrology. Makes so much sense, and it just renews my belief in it. I do believe
it's fun,
in it.
Right? Yeah. And wait, I just want to say the crazy thing that I was going to say is, okay, so there's something called so we just looked at the composite chart. That's the chart of the relationship. I'm looking now at the progressed composite chart, which is the chart of the relationship in this moment. It's the maturation of, it's like the in real time mirror. They have a huge stellium in their relationship chart of the progressed relationship chart in Virgo. The moon of this relationship chart is with the beneficial luck bringing Jupiter in Aries, where the North Node's about to be. I think what this actually is all about is deciding, regardless of the money, that they said better or worse, and they actually love each other. And that actually, as a result, will heal the money problems. But they actually, all this Virgo happening right now in the progressed relationship and the moon in Aries, it's like, no, they actually need to come together as an individual unit. Aries moon relationship vibes now. We are one. That's mirrored in a way. And it's all this Virgo. Okay, let's like actually get to work and fix it. You might be lazy, Kim, but he's a professional athlete, so he's literally not. And if they work together, there is a huge amount of healing available. It doesn't come without work, but there's a huge amount of healing available in this moment for them. And I wish that for them.
Beautiful. Very beautiful.
I want to say, I think it is notable, though, that over the past 2 years, and I'm not really a housewives anything. I'll never even be a housewife, I'm pretty sure. But I, or a wife. I'm everybody's first wife. Never married, frequently divorced. But I literally, but I think it's interesting that while the South Node has been in Scorpio, the North Node in Taurus, like you're talking about the delusional wealth aspect. It's like, I think when these shows started, it was like the delusional wealth was like these people are so wealthy and like, you know, how can we like ever be like that? And I hope some it was like aspirational, I guess, when actually realizing it literally was delusional wealth. These people aren't that wealthy.
Yeah. It wasn't aspirational. It was always, how the hell did these idiots get money? Like they are such assholes. You know what I mean? Like it was, I want to be those people. It was all like, even from Real Housewives of Orange County, the very beginning, it was like, let's gawk at these stupid rich people and think about what's wrong with our society that these people have money and other people are like suffering. Don't you think, Joe?
I really agree. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You agree. So, okay. I present
it,
you.
And it makes us feel better about ourselves that we're not rich. It's like, oh, I'm not rich because those people are assholes. I'm a good person.
I did watch Salt Lake City. I do love religion.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun. And yeah, anytime. Text me and I'll be on.
Be careful what you wish for.
I know. Everyone follow Joe at JoeGun90, at JoeGunTV for all of his real, like, it's like JoeGun90 is the ego, JoeGunTV is the id, and we love all of it.
Bingo. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Please join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. And check out my other podcast, Meet the Junior Misses. It's sketch comedy and it's goofy as hell. And you might like it. I think if you like edibles, you should take one before you listen, because then you're going to really like it.
I know what I'm doing this Friday night.
Okay.
Junior cool. Misses, here we came.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.